We've got two readings this morning. We're starting in Romans and then turning back to John. So if anyone wants to follow it in their Bibles, if you want to find the John reading, that's on page 1084, and that's chapter 16. So if you want to find that and hold a finger in it, like I am, hoping desperately I don't drop it, then that's page 1084 in chapter 16. Oh, now I've dropped the other reading. I knew this would happen. And then the first reading, which you might like to turn to now, is Romans chapter 5, and that's reading verses 1 to 5. Okay, so hopefully we've got that. So starting in Romans chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 5. Peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then we move to John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15, and it's also on the screen. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
So we're going to talk about the Trinity today. I was looking at my papers from when I was studying theology, and I found this one which I loved writing. It's all about the Trinity, and it's actually about a very well-known theologian called Jürgen Moltmann, and he talks about the suffering Trinity, how if one loves, one is vulnerable, and therefore you're open to suffering. But the Trinity is something very hard to understand. It's very hard basically because God is superior. God is different to us. And therefore, it's very hard for us to understand someone who is so different, someone who is eternal, someone who is as big as the universe and bigger. And therefore, we'll never understand him completely, because it's a bit like, and this is going to be very patronizing, I'm just making you aware, but it's a bit like an ant or a dog trying to understand a human being. It's just a different category. There's no way a dog can understand why we do things, why we press a button and the lights go on. Some of us still find it quite hard why we press a button and a light goes on. But a dog will never understand that, and an ant won't. So it's very hard for us to understand a being that is bigger and superior and so amazing. But I'd like to address a few ideas, and I'm going to grab a few verses from our passages today. So if we can have this next slide. This is kind of an understanding of who God is. And I think there's two common mistakes we do when we think about God, the Trinity. God, the Trinity, means is one being with three persons in it. And the main mistakes we make when we try and explain it is we tend to sometimes think that's basically three different gods. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the kind of just completely different gods do completely different things. And actually, it is one God with three persons in it, and we're going to go a bit deeper into that. And the other mistake is that we think it's like one God in three forms, and that's another misunderstanding of who God is. One God in three forms would be if I say I'm a son, I'm a father, and I'm a brother. So for my dad, I'm his son, and for my brother, I'm his brother, obviously, and for Benjamin and Sammy, I'm a father. But I'm still the same person, and these are three different ways in which I operate. But actually, God is not that way. God is three persons in one being, and it's actually fascinating. And I remember when I was studying all of this and writing these papers and really getting into it and enjoying kind of looking at the Trinity and how the persons relate to each other inside the Trinity. I was speaking with my brother, who was 18 and a member of our youth group, and he was kind of saying, well, God is a bit like the three forms thing. Like God sometimes is this way, sometimes presents himself as a Father, and sometimes as a Son, and sometimes as the Holy Spirit. And I got a bit kind of frustrated and a bit angry, and I got my kind of Pharisee side to it, legalistic. I had to ask for forgiveness afterwards. But I was saying, it's a completely different idea of who God is, because actually the Trinity is so much more amazing and fascinating than a God that presents himself in different ways, but it's three persons in one being that relate to each other in a lovely way and a very humbling way, and it's just fascinating to see how they relate, or he relates with himself. I'm going to find it very hard to say that they and he when it's three gods in one, three persons in one God, so please don't get too confused by that. But my best explanation of the Trinity is in the next picture, and this is taken from Harry Potter, the first movie, and actually this figure is kind of the bad guy, so this was my best picture of it, because the rest are kind of the dogs barking and quite angry, and I don't want us to have that image of who God is. But actually, this is a good kind of way of seeing the Trinity. It's one being with three persons, a bit like this dog with three heads. So if each head has a bit of independence and it's a bit different to the other head, but they're still part of the same being and there's still one being, which is this dog with three heads. But if you cut one head off, it won't be the same being. If you say, let's cut this head off and leave the other two, it's not the same being, because it needs the three heads to make it what it is. And the same happens with the Trinity. And I think many times our problem is that we talk about God, like God, big God, and then Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we have God like the Father, like this huge almighty God, and then this little Jesus and this little Holy Spirit. And actually, when we talk about God, it's the three. When we talk about the Father, it's God the Father. When we talk about the Son, it's God the Son. But usually, when we talk about God, we're talking about the Trinity, not about the Father. And therefore, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are equally valuable, important, and powerful as a Father. And I think that's where we sometimes get it a bit wrong. And I'm not saying it's a huge mess if we get it wrong, but it's nice to know who is the God we worship, and who is the God we love, and who is the God we follow. Because as much as we can know him better, we can love him better as well. So let's get into a few of the passages we have for today. Firstly, Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we read this, I personally read it, and I think when it says peace with God, I think God the Father. But actually, when it says peace with God, it's the Trinity. It's the three in one. It's not the Father alone. And then it says, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And again, we read God and we think of the Father, but it's actually this amazing God that three persons in one. And then it says, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And who has that love? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's the three in one that have this amazing love for us. And that's why I think we get it wrong, because we start thinking of God the Father as the big one and the other two as kind of small helpers in a way. And actually, it's a Trinity, the three together, an amazing God. Then this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." And then he says, "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." And what we find in this passage is Jesus talking about the Spirit and the Father. And what I find lovely about this passage is intimacy. It's how they are related, they or him, relates with each other. How when Jesus is talking about the Spirit, he says, "That's the Spirit of truth. And the best thing for you is that I go and he come, because he's going to guide you." And then he says, "He's going to glorify me. He's going to speak good things about me." And then says, "Everything that the Father has is mine as well." So it's just a lovely intimacy and a lovely relationship that we learn from, that we look at in the three persons of the Trinity. And the last bit I'm going to read out is from John 17. And the word glorify is a very kind of churchy word with a lot of meaning, but sometimes we forget what it means. The word glorified means to honor, to magnify, to celebrate, to make renown, to esteem, to value for who he is. To value for who he is. And when Jesus is praying with his disciples, he says, "Father, I pray that you glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And then it says in Luke 3, "The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" And what I love about this is again, it's this loving relationship where Jesus is glorifying the Father and the Father is glorifying the Son. And that means that they're making each other known, honoring each other, magnifying, talking about the wonders of that person for who they are. And that's lovely, just to see how they speak of each other. Whenever you see in the Bible, you see Jesus speaking about the Father or the Holy Spirit, he's just saying, "The Father's amazing, everything I do comes from him." And then he says, "The Holy Spirit is amazing, he's going to come, and it's better for me to leave because you'll be filled by him, empowered, loved by him." And then when the Father speaks, he speaks of the Son, and he says, "You are my Son, who I love. With you I am well pleased." And the Bible says the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus said and in many ways glorifies Jesus. So if you look at this kind of relationship, it's just perfect harmony, isn't it? It's perfect community. It's perfect love. It's a perfect God. And we are invited to look at that community, learn from it, and live the same way. But the problem is we aren't perfect. We aren't perfect harmony, and we aren't perfect love, and we aren't perfectly humble, and we aren't that way. But we are called to be transformed, to look at that, and want to live that, and try and work at in our lives to be able to live in that way, to have a community that is that way. So I think a challenge for us is to try and live the way the Trinity lives, to be a community the way the Trinity is a community, where we speak of each other highly, just as Jesus does of the Father and the Holy Spirit, where we love as he loves. And wouldn't it be lovely that every time you meet with someone from church, they're talking and about the honor and celebrating the life of someone else in the church, speaking about the wonders of what other people are doing, speaking nice words, just as the Trinity does. And if we can have the next slide. This is a very well-known icon. It's by a guy called Rublev. And I find it amazing because this is very old. It's like 500 years old. But the amazing thing about it is that this is a picture of the Trinity. So you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which doesn't matter who's who one. But the nice thing is that they are in a table, and there's kind of four sides to the table, and they're using three, And there's one empty chair, there's one space available. And the lovely thing about the Trinity is that in that community, in that relationship between the persons, we are invited in. We're invited to be part of it. We're invited to be that fourth person on that table. And to work in the same way that they work, and to speak in the same way that they speak, and to love in the same way that the Trinity loves. And what is even kind of going a bit further is that we are invited, not only us alone, but we are invited as a community, as a church, to join into that table and to join into that relationship and to live out our relationships just as the Trinity lives out our relationship. So in a way, it's this massive table where God is the head and we have the three persons in it and we are invited in and we are invited to be part of that relationship, but also to relate in the same way. And that's the lovely bit. We are invited to relate as the Trinity relates between the persons. So my challenge for us is to try, as much as possible, to do what Jesus did and what the Holy Spirit did and what the Father did and they continue to do, is to glorify the people around us. And glorify has kind of this very churchy word, but basically is to honor, to magnify, to celebrate, to make renown, to esteem, to value people for who they are, just as we see Jesus doing with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And in a very practical way, what I'd like us to think about is how can we do that in our daily lives? So I've been trying to do this intentionally, trying to encourage people, trying to do the same thing I see Jesus did. And what I've tried to do is, my first aim was to every day try and encourage one person. And if I couldn't sort of do it face to face, I'd try in the evening to send a text or an email or a WhatsApp message or something to try and do that. I found that after a few days, it was very hard to remember. So what I've done now is to try and, I've gone kind of set, compromised a bit, and try and do three encouragements a week. So three messages, three emails, three texts, three encouragements one-to-one a week. So what I try and do is put that in my diary. So say Fridays is usually a light day at work, so it's easy to put that in my diary and then remember and do it. And then just send an email and encourage someone, or send them text, or usually when I'm walking the dog, I send a WhatsApp voice a message, which is quite easy because you walk the dog for half an hour, so you just put the WhatsApp, say a short message, and then finish. And whenever I send a message like that to Pete Crosher, he's always saying, "Why are you so agitated?" And just basically because I'm going up the hill and then round, just giving my explanation, and I'm not that fit either, so that doesn't help. But it's, why not? Say, as part of our routine, our weekly routine, why not be a bit more like Jesus and do this? It's very simple. It's not very hard to send a message to someone and say, "Thanks, Sarah, for your prayers. You were lovely." Or, "Thanks, Sarah, for your reading." Or, "Thanks to someone in the welcome team." Or, "Thanks to someone you just chatted." Or, "Thanks to someone in your work." It doesn't have to be someone part of our church. But wouldn't we build a lovely community if we were encouraging each other all the time and saying, "I'll put this in my diary, I'll do it three times a week." I've got a friend of mine who, I remember when he came to church and in his beginnings, he used to share that he found it, one of the things he found quite hard about himself was that he felt he was a bit jealous. And he said, I don't like this. I just don't like this in me when I feel jealous. I don't like it when my friend does something good, and instead of celebrating that, I feel like I don't like that. I'd rather him not do that well. And he said, "I know it's wrong, and I want to change it." And he prayed about it, and he used to pray about it and think about it. And actually, I've discovered that he's become the most encouraging person I've ever met. He's just the most humble, loving person. And whenever you see him, he'll talk about sort of positive things, and you say, "Oh, do you remember this guy?" And say, "Oh, that guy was great at doing that." And he'll always see the positive in other people, and he'll always have something to build you up. And whenever you meet him, it's lovely because you always get encouraged and you always leave full of energy because he said something that encourages you. So I'd like us to do something that we don't usually do at church. So I'd like you to get your telephones out if you have your diary and your telephone. And I'd like you to just write in one of the days, send three encouragements or share three encouragements to people. And then if you want to pick it up for the rest of your life and do it every week, that'd be lovely. But at least this week, one day, probably choose a day where you're not going to be sort of non-stop the whole day. And all you need to do is you're on the train, send a text message to someone. You're in the loo, send a text message to someone. Wherever you are, you just remember to send one message, an email, a phone call, and encourage someone, because that's what Jesus did. That's what the Trinity is all about. It's all about loving each other and encouraging. And you never see any time in the Bible that Jesus is speaking badly about the Father or the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit speaking badly about Jesus or the Father. So let us be encouraged by that relationship. And let us discover how lovely that relationship is, because we're invited to join in. We're invited to be part of it. So have you done your... I see a lot of people with a telephone. That's one of the few times when I'm preaching, I'm quite happy to see people with their telephones. So that's my challenge for you. Just think of encouraging three people and live a life of encouragement. Live like Jesus did. Let us pray. And if you have your telephone, just continue writing that on your diary and you can join in the prayer in a while. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are such an amazing God. And as we see how you relate amongst yourselves, these interrelationships are just lovely. It's lovely to see how you glorify, you magnify, you honor one another. And I pray, God, that you would change our hearts, that you would change our minds, and you'll give us peace and humility and joy and kindness and gentleness. Give us a heart that wants the best for the people around us. Take away the jealousy we might have. And help us to be encouragers. Help us to be the ones who build others up. Help us, even when we don't want to force ourselves to say something nice about people around us. To build them up. To value them for who they are. Just as you value us. In Jesus' name. Amen.